seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
So listen, it's not every day that you listen to a mayor. I'm talking like a mayor of a city speaking. You get excited about it. But I'm telling you here, you may not know this mayor, but today's mayor, Mayor Masso, ran the city Frisco that back in the days, before 1992, it wasn't a city because they only had 5,000-6,000 people living there. They got 182,000 people living there today. And he's going to break down taxes in a way that's going to interest you. And by the way, you're going to learn which state offers the lowest taxes, where to live. How does it break down? Should you run for mayor? What should you do with your mayor? How should you talk with your senators, congressmen? It's going to be a very, very powerful audio to listen to, especially if you're an entrepreneur.
Today, you're going to have to deal with this voice because I decided to bring the Batman voice out today. But today's interview is one I've been looking forward to for a long time because I decided to take a completely different direction with this interview. I wanted to bring the mayor of the fastest growing city in America, and that's Frisco, Texas. And by the way, this is not me saying it. I have the census here. I have Dallas News. I have USA Today. I have US News. I have so many different publications that say Frisco is the fastest growing city in America, where today, I believe the only competition they have is one next door, which is Richardson and a couple other people that are competing, all within the same county. So I wanted to find out, as a mayor of Frisco, 9 years, 3 terms, the one they have here in Frisco, what can you do to attract as many entrepreneurs as he has attracted to the city of Frisco? So with that being said, Mayor Masso, thank you so much.
A pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Here with us. Before one becomes a mayor, what decision did you make? Why did you all of a sudden say, I want to become a mayor of Frisco? What goes through your mind to say, I want to be the mayor? How does that happen?
You know, it doesn't. I get asked that. You know, I do a lot of career days at the schools, and one of the questions is, hey, you know, did you always want to be mayor? And I said, well, no, not really. Yeah, I served for council first in Frisco from 2000 to 2007, then as mayor from 2008 to the last year, 2017. Yeah. And now I'm the CEO of the Prosper Economic Development Corporation. But how it really started, I would say I was an activist. I moved to Frisco in 92. It was just a farm. It was about 6,500 people. A lot of related families there.
6,500.
6,500. Dirt roads, one blinking yellow light in town. And I wanted to build a circular driveway on my new home I was building there. And the HOA said, no, you can't do it. I didn't think that was appropriate. So I actually got on the board of the HOA, became president of the HOA, and got my circular driveway.
So from there, you run and you become the mayor. So I look at the stats. 19, you're saying 1992, you're living in Frisco.
Mm-hmm.
There's 6,500 people there. In 2000, I think you guys were like 111,000 people.
No, in 2000, we were 33,000.
2033, uh-huh. 2010, 133,000.
116.
And to the year at 172,000.
About 172,000.
172,000. What the hell happened here? I mean, from did people just start like all of a sudden having a bunch of babies and Pfizer moved out here and said, let's make, you know, 150 million
It's a
kids.
Really cool story. I mean, so you hit a great point. In the year 2000, the U.S. does a census every 10 years. So the 2010 census, Frisco is a fast-growing city in the country. It's really important to note that many other North Texas communities, as you mentioned earlier, are also fast-growing. Well, first, there's no state or personal income tax. It's a business-friendly state. It's a property rights state. It's a right-to-work state. So all those combined make it, it facilitates companies growing, relocating here, starting here. Those are really, really important. So Texas has created the atmosphere of successful business state. So why are people moving to Frisco? Why are people moving to Prosper? Well, we've invested in public safety. They're very safe. No one wants to relocate their families to an area that they're not safe in. So that's a priority. The education system, where when I get asked this question by other mayors around the country, first question I ask them back is, what's your relationship with your school district and your college? Well, really, we don't have one. When we talk about the stadiums, the Cowboys headquarters, the Rough Riders Stadium, the FC Dallas Professional Soccer Stadium that are all in Frisco, those are all partnerships with the school district. Those are high school stadiums. The important thing is the education level. And let me tell you why. When all the companies that I've ever sat with that are looking to relocate, whether it's the Boeings or the Toyotas, if you look at them closely, almost all their search committees are made up and headed by human resources. Why? Because that's probably the number one priority for companies is finding the right workforce. Having the right workforce where they want to locate actually drives where they want to locate. They will not locate in an area.
Interesting.
You know, the big story today is Amazon, right? Yeah.
They just came right here.
I bet you that number one thing on their list is where are the right employees for them? Because the employees make them successful. So that's why education comes back. It has become a critical component. So public safety, education, infrastructure, all critical to make that fast growth community.
Why do you think Texas is doing a better job recruiting businesses more than the other states that are also 0%? Washington State, 0%. Alaska, 0. Let's put Alaska aside. Florida, 0. Nevada, 0. You, 0. Why do you think you're doing a better job as a state than the other states?
Well, I think several things. I would say to you, Texas, obviously the numbers show that Texas is doing a better job. But there's several more things that go into it besides income tax, whether it's corporate or personal. Regulations, you know, how hard is it to develop to get a permit? Well, I think that the leadership, both at the state and local levels, understand that government doesn't create jobs. The companies do. And the people I've run across in Texas that are in a leadership position, they all think the same way. Every family deserves to have the opportunity to earn a living wage, to earn to feed their families, to take care of their families. And so what we try to do is ask questions, how can we make that happen? I've run across other states where they have a head tax. No income tax, but if you hire an employee, you're going to pay an extra tax.
Right.
Those things add up. Boeing did a study way back of what are the best places to do business in. And as you imagine, that list is long, the criteria. It's not just the taxes, but it's quality of life, education, public safety. And Texas was in the top two at the time. But one thing that for some reason some elected officials do not understand is businesses have a choice. They will go find the place that will help them be successful, to give a return to their shareholders, to give a return to their customers. And when you place burdens on these companies, they'll leave. Or they may hire those three new employees in another state at another division, and you'll never know about it. And so business needs to be treated as your partner, and that's what we did in our area. The public-private partnership is not something we just pay lip service to. We actually created those models. The presence of every professional team in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is in Frisco. Why? Because we partnered with them. And the return to our citizens has allowed the tax rate to be low, has allowed the quality of life to be high, and so it works. And I don't think everyone understands that.
Mayor Masso, why don't we go in the other room and let's look at some of these stats and see if you can break down how sales taxes works to benefit the city.
Absolutely.
So look, before we get into these stats, I got a curveball for you.
Yeah.
New York, tourism. California, tourism. Miami, Florida, tourism. Texas, I don't know. How's tourism look in Texas?
Well, let me use Frisco as an example. Let me draw you a really quick thing. One of the problems, you know, Frisco is one of the fastest growing cities in the country, right?
Okay.
So is Prosper. And it looks good when you graph the revenue, and let's say we started here, which we did, it was nobody
sure.
living there. The revenue went up pretty, you know, other mayors will look at it and say, wow, look, $3.7 billion property value increase in 1 year. That's pretty good. $7 billion in 1 year
in Frisco,
right?
Wow.
So, but then if you look at this line, you got the expense line that comes up here, right?
Okay.
And then one day this line is going to flatten.
Yes.
We haven't flattened yet, but it will. But this expense line is going to keep going up. California is dealing with that. Expenses go up, taxes go up, the services go down. This right here is a problem every city around the country faces.
Okay.
So in Frisco and in Prosper, what we're looking at is, How do we solve that? How do we solve this line, whether it's Dallas or Plano, they all will flatten, but the expenses go up. What does a business do? What do you do every day? You're always doing research and development.
Sure.
New products, new services, ways to keep vibrant, otherwise you'll be done. Your
That's
business
right.
will go under.
Yes.
Cities in Texas, for example, only have two revenue streams, property tax and sales tax. We can't do research and development as you know it to create new revenue.
Okay.
But how do we break this cycle is one of the questions we spent a lot of time early in the process on. And how we broke it was really tourism. Okay, how do we strengthen sales tax, property tax? So in Frisco, you have Toyota Stadium, which is professional soccer with 17 tournament fields and Jimmy Buffett and the FCS National Championship, you know, $6 million impact every time we have a big event there, right? Then you have the Cowboys World Headquarters and practice facility, Dallas Cowboys, right out in Frisco.
They got a lot of fans from everywhere, so people would come.
$1 billion development.
That's in Frisco.
Yeah. Yes. Part of the $5 billion mile. The Rangers have their AA affiliate, the Rough Riders. The Mavericks have their minor league, the G League, the basketball team, professional basketball team. Headquarters of the Dallas Stars, professional hockey team.
Wait a minute, how did you convince these four teams to be in your city, though?
Public-private partnership and keeping your word. Once we did the deal with the Dallas Stars and the Rough Riders, we got a reputation that we know how to put these things together. And we know what your needs are, and we know what our needs are.
You got all five of them?
Every one of them. And so that tourism now has helped the revenue stream continue. So sustainability is the key question. So I thought that was really important to share that, because those things happen by design. You have to think a good elected official will be thinking 30 and 40 years from now, not 5 years.
So what do you do? Like, for instance, City of LA, okay? City of LA's got a lot of different issues going on over there. Mm-hmm. What do you look at from an outsider? If you were hired as a consultant, say the LA was to hire you as a consultant, we want former mayor of Frisco come to LA.
Sure.
We want a week with you, and they'll pay you $100,000, whatever the number is. What would you look at, and what metrics, what trends would you look at to say, here's how I can fix LA?
The basic foundational things do not change, okay? They just lose sight of them sometimes. So if I was in LA, and we have given tours to all cities all over the country.
Got it.
We focus on public safety. You know, LA needs to be a safe city. So what have they done to do that? It's not just police on the ground handles public safety issues after the fact.
Would that be your first?
First thing, public safety is key.
That's your number one.
Number one, public safety with education. I really tie those together.
Okay.
Because you want to have the right workforce. People want to live there. Okay? You need them to live there because that's where the companies come in.
Got it.
And if you don't have the right workforce, they don't come in. So public safety, education are two of the biggest things. I would sit with them and ask him, let me show you what we did in Frisco. For example, on the public safety and educational side, we built the SAFER system, Situational Awareness for Emergency Response. Typical high school in Frisco, and we were opening one high school every year, so a new one.
Wow.
A typical high school would have over 180 video cameras. You can see inside and outside the school, every police car, every fire truck. They know who the teachers are in the room. They know where the chemicals are instantly. We designed that system from the ground up.
How many cities and states do that?
This is a custom system. This one with a worldwide award from an organization called Esri. It's one of a kind.
This is not, no one else is
doing
this.
You can't go buy it.
Wow.
You have to build it.
So I'm in LA and I say, shit, we can add this thing with all these 180 cameras. The parents going to feel safer, right? Community's going to feel safer.
And the community is going to want to invest in that.
And you're saying no one's doing this.
Nobody has built that system, okay? So, and if you look at Las Vegas and Frisco probably lead the country in automation for traffic automation. For example, if you have a new Audi in Frisco or Vegas, the only two cities in the country, our traffic lights will speak to that car. It'll tell you what speed to do so you can make all the green lights on your dash. Okay, it'll tell you how long that light will be red. Okay, so stepping
public
out,
safety.
So yeah.
That's
so safety,
safety,
it takes people working together. So if I'm in LA, school systems a key, public safety is a key, and then treat your businesses fairly. Work with them. What are their needs? Ask them. Sit down with them. What is it you need to be successful? You can't do everything they need. Okay,
sure, of course.
But you need to at least understand what they need. And that's how you keep them there. So very simple things, very foundational things. It's not rocket science, you know, but sometimes we lose sight of that.
So very interesting. I want to go through some of the numbers here, and then I want to see what you think about. So this is GDP by state, which state in America produces the most. Obviously, U.S. is $19 trillion. Of that, number one is California at 2.6, 14.7%. Texas, 1.6. Number two, they passed New York. 1.5, Florida 9.26, then it's Illinois, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Jersey, Georgia, Carolina. At the bottom, number 50 is Vermont, $31 billion. Many companies are bigger than the state of Vermont. Wyoming, Montana, okay. And just to kind of give an idea, California's economy is the fifth largest economy, bigger than UK, India, France, Brazil, Italy, Canada. Texas at 1.6 is bigger than Canada, bigger than Russia. It's a big economy, right, that we have. And then when you come on this side, this state's taxes, as of yesterday, according to Business Insider, they came out literally yesterday, taxes came out. Texas, California, highest taxes, right? From a low of 1, but the top 13.3. It is the only state that's double digits, or 13.3. Oregon's right there at 9.9, then it's Minnesota, Iowa, Jersey, Vermont, D.C., New York. I thought New York would have been higher. New York is actually lower than California's. Number 8, Hawaii, Wisconsin. And then the bottom is the Texas, Florida, South Dakota, Alaska, Wyoming, Washington State with 0, right? So I look at this, then I look at this. Which states have the most Fortune 500 companies in America? Number 1, New York, 54, makes sense. Financial capital of the world. Sure. Number 2, California, 53, makes sense. Silicon Valley, all that stuff they got going on over there. Texas, 3, 50. Then Illinois, 36, Ohio, Virginia, Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Minnesota. What does this say about this number? And where do you foresee Texas going with the amount of Fortune 500 companies sure. that'll be headquartered here?
Sure. Well, I think two things from this you would look at. One I would say is that, you know, you don't have it here, but I would say Texas is trending up. You've seen the Toyota yes. relocations. You know, Amazon's now looking, who knows where yes. they're going to end up. But you can tell you they're not going to end up in California. You know, they're not going to end up in most likely New York. There's sure. still a small chance. But the reality is Texas is trending up. But more importantly is I don't put much stock in the number of Fortune 500 companies because we're truly becoming a diversified economy worldwide. You have a lot of these companies have offices everywhere. Their headquarters, maybe 50 employees, maybe in a certain state. But where are they doing business? Where are their labs? Where are their production facilities? You take a company like Great Batch that just relocated from Buffalo, went to Frisco, and then Plano. They have facilities all over the world. And so this number can be a little misleading. It doesn't mean number of jobs. It doesn't mean, you know, how much they're doing in that state. They're paying taxes in that state. And that's what they're finding out is these companies, when they're doing their work all over the world, is where's going to be the most beneficial place to do business. And you're finding them moving.
So why don't we go over here? I want to talk about this side of it here, Paul. So I showed already what's happened with the population. So we already know this.
Yeah.
And you guys are projecting 2035, 375,000 is what I keep reading about. This is sales tax mm-hmm. by city. You're the mayor, okay? I think one of the things sometimes as a voter, the voter doesn't know how much influence a mayor has. Right. So for instance, one, should I go campaign and become a mayor of my city? I'm ticked off about a permit I didn't get and I'm gonna go be the mayor. Maybe the motivation is bigger, right? If I do, one time you and I were talking about what portion comes to you. And I asked you, I said, out of this 8.25, that's sales tax, what portion comes to you? The voter votes, I like this guy, good personality. I like her, she's amazing. This person's for healthcare. That person's for free enterprise. Sure. This person's for this. But I want to see the logical sure. math standpoint. Yeah. What happens here with these rates?
Yep. The two main revenue streams for cities and counties to a lesser extent in Texas are property taxes and sales tax. So there's two revenue streams. There's a lot of little things like permit fees and fines and court costs and all those things that go. But the two major ones, property and sales tax. In Texas, the state gets 6.25. Most products in Texas, anywhere you buy an item in the state of Texas, the state gets 6.25. That's set, okay? And then on top of that, so we'll call that the state, okay? City, we're gonna call them cities, municipalities, okay? And in some cases, there's some exceptions to the law because, again, Texas is a huge state. Very rare exceptions, but some counties get sales tax, but typically only the state and cities collect sales tax, okay? That's the general rule. Okay. And cities can do up to 1. They don't have to. Not every city does. Most do. And they don't have to do 1 full cent. They can do under that. But most cities in Texas will collect that 1 cent.
At 1%, yeah. You got Ashland, who's at 6.75. Yeah. So they're only doing 0.5%.
Yeah.
So you choose.
Then special use, we'll call it special use. Up to one more cent is dedicated special use. That only can happen through an election. Okay? For example, Dallas has DART, Dallas Area Rapid Transit.
Okay.
They had an election, they allocate 1 cent to that. Okay.
Is that based on timeline or?
No, they have an election until the voters decide not to do it anymore.
Change it.
It's okay. 1 cent. So, okay. So let's jump back a minute. So the maximum is in Texas, anywhere you go, is 8.25.
You okay. cannot get higher than this.
You cannot get higher okay. than that. Okay. Now, that 1 cent becomes critical. Okay. What can you use it for? You can use it for transportation. You can use it for public safety to add additional money to fund public safety. You can use it for buying down the property tax, that other revenue stream. You want to lower that, you can put sales tax to buy it down.
Yes.
But what's really important to us and the city, the newer cities have done is what we call 4A and or 4B. Okay, 4A and 4B is basically the enabling legislation the state allowed cities to do, again, through election, to fund what we call economic development corporations and community development corporations. So Frisco, Prosper, Allen, McKinney all have what we call 4A, economic development. 4B is community development. What they can do is based on what type of election they have. So I don't want to complicate it. But let's just talk about 4A, EDC. We call that for short EDC, Economic Development Corporation. You may assume that every city has an EDC. They don't. Dallas does not have an EDC. Plano does not have an EDC. They have what they call an EDO, Economic Development Organization. It's part of the city. It's an effort inside the city. But it has its funding from the city.
Okay.
Frisco, Prosper, I'm the CEO of the Prosper Economic Development Corporation. We get our funding from half a cent, because the other half cent is used for public safety. Okay, so in Prosper, out of that 1 cent, they allocated 0.05, so basically half a cent, point, okay?
Yeah.
To EDC.
Okay.
And 0.5, currently it's property buy down, but it's gonna they're gonna have an election to go to public safety. Okay.
It's defined public safety, cops,
police, cars, police, anything to do with public safety, fire, all that.
Okay.
They're putting additional funds towards that.
Got
okay,
it.
So that half cent in Prosper is over $2 million a year, and growing as we add retail.
So you take $2 million to have your firefighters and your police officers here.
Yes, and we take $2 million for Economic Development Corporation.
Let me ask you that: $2 million have to pay for the property, have to pay for the police department, equipment, everything.
Public safety. That's there's certain budget. Rules they have to follow, but okay. overall it's geared towards public safety.
So what
safety.
Do you do with that $2 million to EDC?
So now let's go to our mission. Our mission in Prosper is to help companies relocate to our community, okay, through cash incentives, through additional means. So and I'll get to that in a minute. And so the idea behind the Prosper EDC is create jobs, create investment in our community, and that involves helping companies relocate, helping companies grow that are already there, and starting our own companies, helping them get started.
Got it.
So that's our mission, is to provide jobs and investment in the town.
So let me ask you, this goes in every state. If they're watching, they're in Illinois, the state goes to the state.
Yes.
Okay.
That's their revenue.
In Illinois, in Alaska, in New York, do these work in a different way?
Yes.
Can you give me some examples of how some work?
Well, some in some states, the cities do not get any sales tax. Again, remember, the state funds them. The state sends them a check. So they may collect all of this and just allocate certain portions through their budget into
Here's
those cities.
Here's what you have. Make your city work.
Make your city work.
So let me ask you a question now. I'm a citizen. I'm in a city. Okay? What should I do to get educated on this, to one, have influence, two, as a citizen, what things should I be looking for to know? Am I living in a city that's a good place for my kids, for sure. my family, for myself, my opportunity, entrepreneurship? What things should I be looking for?
Well, the first thing you said is you should ask. You should, this should be important to you. It's amazing to me a lot of our residents may not, you know, they just go to work, come home, and that's, you know, the government shouldn't intrude on them. But they should also ask questions.
Who do you
ask?
How
their money? City councils, mayors. For example, let's talk about the EDC a moment. Economic Development Corporation is just that. It's a corporation.
Okay.
The city council of the town appoints the board members of that corporation. Then they hire a person like me to operate it. Okay? So it is an arm's length away, but yet the city council appoints those board members. So those board members are typically made up out of residents, citizens of that city. So what can you do as a citizen? Apply to be on these boards. Apply, look, I'm a broker, I'm an attorney.
Anybody.
Anybody, as long as they live there. And there's parameters. You have to be a citizen. You have to have lived there at least a year in some cities. But if you're a resident in that town, get involved. Help make the decisions, okay? Those opportunities exist in almost every city.
So a citizen, you need to be living there for a year or whatever the criteria is.
Maybe whatever the criteria. Yeah.
So I asked you one time, and I remember the answer, but I want to hear yours. I asked you, what do you make every month as a mayor?
Oh, yeah, as
and
a mayor.
You laughed. You said, Pat, it's a joke if I told you. And then when you told me the amount, I was flabbergasted. 9 years as a mayor, what did you make?
So every mayor in Texas is a little different. Every city, remember that charter we talked about? In Frisco, I basically received $500 a month towards expenses, but that's before taxes. Taxes were taken. So my net was about $380. Probably covered my cell phone for the most part.
Are you kidding me?
It's a volunteer role. You didn't do it to make money. And that's really one of the big things that jumped out at me. Frisco's a newer city, right?
Wait a minute. $380. Yeah. So are you able to work full-time when you're a mayor? So you can run your business while you're a mayor?
So we have family business, and my family made the decision that we want to give back to the community, and I was that person. In other words, I received a salary. I had a real job, but my hours spent being the mayor was anywhere from 50 to 80 a week. So it was full-time.
For
$380. But look, I volunteered to do it, so I'm not going to complain about it.
If you work 70 hours a week for 4 weeks, that's $280. You were making $1.25 an hour.
Thanks for doing the math for me. I didn't want to know.
$1.25 an hour. Can you imagine that?
But it was an honor to represent the city and Fast Growth City.
So let me ask you the question based on that. You got some places that mayors make a lot of money.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking like a lot of money.
Serious money.
Serious money. Yeah. What do you think about that?
As an elected official, your boss is the citizens. You serve them. And it should be about wanting to be a servant leader, about giving back to the community. So I really believe that these jobs shouldn't be high-paying jobs, okay? Should they be more than 500? I also want to make sure that everyone has opportunity to serve and not be precluded because they don't make enough money.
And so
the answer is somewhere between that. The other part of that is I'm a real believer in our system, which was a council-manager form of government. I really am not a strong believer in strong mayor. Strong mayor basically means I come in, I bring in my own people, I fire people I don't like, and that's great. But the success of Frisco, the success of Prosper, is based on staying the course, having a good master plan, knowing where you're going. With a strong mayor or former government, once the mayor leaves, the next new mayor comes in, brings in his own people, and they change direction. That consistency sometimes is lost. So the strength really is building a good team and having consistency. So I know you didn't ask that second part of that question, but is it a full-time job? It can be. Should it be a well-paid full-time job as an executive? I'm not sure I agree with that. It's called a public servant for a reason. Right?
Yeah. And that's how it was at the beginning anyways, right?
Yeah.
That's how it was at the beginning.
Yeah.
Fair enough. This was very interesting. So let's look at this. You talk to somebody in California and they'll say something like, you know, your taxes are too high. Somebody from Texas will tell California. California will say, go replace the weather. I dare you to go to a nicer place. Yeah. The weather is so beautiful. The beach, Hollywood, all this other stuff. Do you think an entrepreneur that right now is a free agent, when I say free agent, they're willing to move anywhere?
Yeah.
Nevada, New York, Chicago, whoever sells me, kind of like how your brother-in-law was looking into going to here, Illinois, whatever. Pitch me, sell me to go to a state. I am California. I'm New York. New York's going to get business no matter what because they're financial capital. And they still have some decent taxes. What do you think some of these states like California have to do for them to start getting attention of entrepreneurs that are moving in rather than leaving the state?
Sure. So I think we can all agree that corporations employ people. Companies employ people.
Yes.
Okay, that's really important. Companies invest. Okay. So we want to make it easy for them to do that. That's the goal. So California, I think they do have beautiful weather, beautiful beaches. I can go visit anytime I want to go visit. Okay. The problem is, I think they've lost sight that businesses are their partners. They should work with them to grow the community. Government is there for really three things: public health, safety, and welfare. Okay. We shouldn't be getting involved in the day-to-day operations of companies. We should set the rules, but then quit micromanaging. And because companies have a choice. And what's happening is, I think you're seeing with the traffic, with the companies leaving there, they're starting to voice their concerns. A lot of companies, the Silicon Valley, they had a great think tank there. Workforce was excellent, okay? But now other communities around the country, the Austin, Texas area, are starting, Denver, is starting to really compete on that level also. So companies have a choice. You cannot sit there and wait for things to happen. As you, as a company, as a private company, you're always creating new things to succeed. I think communities need to do that, and they're not. They're not. When I served on the Select Committee on Economic Development for the state of Texas, that's what we were doing. Hey, we know we've created most of the jobs in this country in the last 20 years, but how do we stay doing that? Let's not take it for granted. Let's not take it for granted companies are moving here. What are we failing at? Let's improve that. That question has to be asked more often in these cities.
And so let me ask you, you know, sometimes I lived in Iran, okay? And Iran for the longest time was the most incredible empire. Mm-hmm. And people were doing great. The Shah came, things changed, you know, and then you had tourists come in. Frank Sinatra was performing. Elizabeth Taylor was dating our ambassador, Zahedi. Beautiful concert, Bee Gees, caviar, like ice cream. Just a beautiful place. And then all of a sudden, boom, night and day. Okay, and it shift. And a guy like me that wants to go to Iran today, I'm thinking about my kids, my family, all these other thoughts. Do you think sometimes states become so arrogant that they don't think they'll ever have a massive fall like some nations had falls? Do you think states think, we'll never fall? People are always gonna wanna come to California. People are always gonna be wanting to live in here. Do you think they think about that at all?
Yeah, I think communities do and states do get complacent. I really believe that. I think that you have a choice where you're going to raise your family. You absolutely have a choice. And if it's not conducive to that, what are you going to do? You have a choice where to locate your business. Okay. And one of the things that's showing that some are starting to recognize it, I keep hearing word of exit tax. They're going to charge you an exit tax to leave. Well, fix the problem so they don't leave. Don't charge them. Don't penalize them for leaving. Yeah.
Wow.
So that mentality is, we have a problem, let's put it on the burden, let's put the burden on the business community. That doesn't work.
So what do you think about this? What do you think about the article that was written saying Chicago is offering the homeless in the city a one-way Greyhound ticket to Texas? What do you think about that? Because that's what's being wrought right now. Yeah. They're giving a one-way ticket to the homeless to say, go to Texas, weather is warmer over there, it's better over there, we'll pay for one ticket, one way, $69, go ahead. And they're clear.
I've not read that article, but you know, homelessness in every city is an issue,
and I think that.
Well, you know, you have to figure. You got to create jobs for people. You have to give them an opportunity. Look, we all know that some forms of homelessness have to do with mental health. You got to make sure you cover that field. Some part of it is down on your luck. Somebody loses their job and they just need a little help to get back on their feet. You need the local organizations to help support that. You need to support them. So there's not one easy answer. I firmly believe cities want to solve that. But some cities have taken the wrong stance on it. Part of the answer is making sure you have a very vibrant, low unemployment economy. Okay? You have to make sure that there's jobs available to those people that want it. If you look at the North Texas area, unemployment's so low right now, I would almost tell you there's really no unemployment. If you want a job, you can get a job.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that, and we're on the same page, because I believe homeless, you know, folks that we have there, some got there by pure accident, some you may say, you said mental, and some just maybe the government keeps producing them because they're set in an environment that kind of is being created. I think entrepreneurship solves that. I think education solves that.
Sure.
I think environment solves that. And I think Texas is doing a pretty good job in that area. So here's what I would say. Any final thoughts you have So we've covered a lot of different things. Yeah. And you probably weren't expecting us to talk about all these things today. You probably thought I'm gonna go tell my story and that's it. We've covered a lot of data, a lot of stats here today. Final thoughts, and I'm not saying a recruiting message to Texas.
Sure.
Say somebody doesn't want to leave their state. I don't want to leave California. I don't want to leave Oregon. I don't want to leave Minnesota. I want to stay here. What can I do? That last message of what can I do to make an impact in the community? I mean, sure. Before it gets to the point where you say, you know what, it's too late, I gotta leave. Yeah. What would you say?
And that would be, that's the catch of key is make an impact to the community and get involved. Get on city councils. I got, when I was, I told the story of how I got on the HOA board.
Yes.
Pretty soon people started asking me to run and do other things. I always gave it my best. I was learning a lot. And one day somebody came up to me and said, why don't you run for city council? And you know what I told them? I said, what's that? I wasn't involved in government. I had no clue. I didn't
That's
really
great.
Know. What,
That's
what,
great.
What is that?
Phenomenal.
And they said, hey, they told me, don't worry about it. We've seen what you've done on these volunteer groups. We want to help you get there.
I love that.
Want you to run. We're going to help you. So that's what I would tell people is get involved. And not just sitting on city councils, EDC boards, planning and zoning boards, community development boards, library
yep.
boards, okay? Get involved. My wife's on the Samaritan Inn, which is for homeless, but we don't even call it homeless anymore. It's transitional living. The point is to help somebody get from not having a place to stay to a point where they can do it on their own. It's transition.
As long as you're helping that transition.
You're helping the transition. You're teaching them new skills.
Yep.
You're providing for their family. So get involved in the community. We want other communities to succeed. There is a right way to do it. We believe that.
I love that. Yeah. So my message when I was in India last week, mm-hmm. this is what I said to, there was 5,000 engineers and entrepreneurs in the audience. And I said, you got three challenges. Number one, make your country number one in GDP, because I think India could fight for it. They got the populace and the young, exciting people to do. They have to fight against America, because that's going to be a lot of work. I said, two, find a way to make your money. Go make your money.
Yes.
I like your story, $500 a month, $380 a month, but you had the money where you didn't need the salary.
Right.
Go make your money, take care of your wife. You have kids.
You have to take care of your family.
You have wife,
right.
your kids, your son's yep. a pilot. Yep. You've raised a good family.
Thank you.
Then the other side is figure out a way to give back public service.
Yeah.
I'm extremely grateful for a country like America that took an immigrant like me from Iran. I lived in a refugee camp 2 years, and then here you allow me to go out there and make all this money.
Yeah.
I can't even believe it. I feel public service yeah. is automatic part of it. So here's my thought, last thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
One, if you have any questions, thoughts, comments, comment on the bottom. We covered a lot of things. By the way, if you're still here with us, because today is not this motivational.
Politicians
you know,
talk a lot. Yeah, look, I'm sorry. I just.
If you're still here, more power to you. So where can people find you? Are you Twitter or Instagram?
I got Twitter. I got Instagram. I got LinkedIn. I have my email. We get that on the screen somewhere.
We'll put all of that stuff
right,
up.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah.
put all that stuff yeah. up here. The links, you can see it on the bottom as well. And last but not least, whatever city you're in, you just heard it from the mayor. 9 years, he went three terms. In Texas, it's 3 years per term. He went three times, he got elected three times, a full 9 years and 1 month he served. He grew the city from where it was with his team to where it's at today. He kind of knows what he's doing. The fastest growing city in America with Frisco. And then spread this message amongst other people. Because whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you have kids, whether you not have kids, you're gonna have to pay taxes.
Right.
And the sooner or later you'll learn how this stuff works, the more money stays in your pocket. The more money stays in your pocket, less you need from the government. And you can actually breathe and go do the things you want to do in your life. So that's the reason why we did this video today. Even though I have this Batman voice today, I was so excited about today's episode. So I appreciate you coming out. Thank you so
much. Always a pleasure, Patrick.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.